One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby.
Yeah, roll with the punches. Hi, everybody, your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio, brought to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal and Mike Haggerty Buick GMC Volkswagen over on Cicero Avenue in Oak Lawn. So glad you could join us tonight. You're listening to WSBC 1240 on your AM dial. We're here every Saturday night from 7 to 8, or you can join us at Lizzie McNeil's any Wednesday night, usually around 6 at 400 North McClure Court. Now, this is our 14th week with the show. We're very proud of the way it's going. But in case you missed any earlier episodes, we just want to explain, this is a show dedicated to Irish first responders. And the reason we do that, obviously, we're in touch with our heritage and our culture and our Irish upbringing. And one of the things we do when you're into that is you look into the myths, the mythological heroes, the Irish warriors of their time. And I think that the most relevant correlation to that is our Irish police, firefighters, and paramedics. They are the mythological warriors of our time. And tonight we got a great one with us, but I want you to listen to a little piece before we get to Tom Gorman. But check this out. It's from 2015. It's Motorola Foundation Heroes Award, a law enforcement event. So check this out.
Having been in a lot of gunfights myself and many years back, this was the real deal. I mean, there were bullets flying, there were people pinned down, there were people trying to evacuate wounded.
The entire situation changed from trying to arrest a wanted offender to trying to make sure that no one else got hurt and to save the life of this policeman.
I was in the back with the captain and a few other people, Officer Menizzi, Officer Fernandez, and Sergeant Ryan. As the team was breaching the front door, we heard the first gunshot.
As I'm standing in the back of the building, I heard one shot. As I took one step out of the hallway, I ended my communication to the zone, at which time I got shot. I got shot twice, once in the head, above my right eye. The bullet went in there, fractured my cheekbone, it's still lodged in there. The second bullet entered my shoulder. I felt myself going into shock. I said to Officer Gorman and the other officers that were there, I said, Tom, you gotta get me out of here.
Fire couldn't come in. We were pinned down. He kept shooting at us, but we were trying to figure out a way to get him out.
They surrounded me with ballistic shields, a few of the officers. I put my arms on their shoulders and I walked out the second floor apartment waiting to the waiting ambulance and the hundreds of other officers that were out there for us.
To be honest, I don't like the word you or I in this, because this isn't a one person. Our whole team did this. Our whole team saved them, every single person in there.
It's hard not getting emotional about it. My family is, very important to me, you know, but my police family is just as important, and in the first responders family. And my family is overwhelmed, but with the generosity not only from the police department, from all different vendor agencies, from the American Red Cross, even consider me a hero. I'm not a hero. I'm just doing my job.
That was a little video from the Law Enforcement Awards Ceremony, the 2015 Heroes Breakfast, presented by Motorola Solutions Foundation. And in that, you heard the voice of our guest, Sergeant Tom Gorman. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
So great to have you here. Tom's a Southside guy and part of a large Irish family. You could do a whole show on the first responders in his family, and we'll get to that. But you got brothers who were cops, right?
I do. They're both retired.
Joe was a commander?
He was.
Not bad. And your dad was a cop, too, right?
Yeah, he was a detective.
Oh, bless him. Well, that's terrific. And you also were going to tell me what the military connection? You were in the Navy out of high school?
After, you know, excelling in academics at Mount Carmel, my father saw my potential for
a joke?
Yeah, he saw my potential for community college.
I wanted to make sure.
It was community college for me, or, you know, working in the sewers.
Yeah.
So I went out to Moraine Valley for a year. I tried to actually join the Navy in high school.
Yeah.
And, you know, your parents have to sign for you. And I remember my mom screaming at the recruiter that if Bill Clinton didn't have to join the military, my son doesn't. Don't ever call here again.
Yeah, good for your mom.
So she hung up on him. But I joined, when I was able to sign for myself. So I did 1 year of community college, and then joined the Navy. But
Were you in the Navy?
Just 4 years. Yeah,
that's a long time. Yeah. And then when you came back, you went right into the cops.
I did a return trip to Moraine Valley because at the time. They wanted the 60 hours of college.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I went back and finished up to get enough college to get hired.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And how long have you been a cop?
It'll be 18 years this summer.
Good for you. And you grew up in Cajun, and you went to Mount Carmel. God bless you.
I did.
My alma mater. And
I can tell you, we're very well-spoken.
Yes, we're very articulate.
We are. Yeah. We are.
What was it? You threw me with that. and you just had a baby.
I did. My wife and I had a little baby boy last June.
Oh, that's terrific.
Little Jacob Matthew.
Okay. And how old is he now? He's what? Just a.
He just turned 9 months. Just turned 9 months. Yeah. He just yesterday, in a little pack and play, pulled himself up and stood for the first time.
Wow.
And my wife was. You know, she was at work, and she's like, did you get a picture? And I couldn't get my camera in time, my phone. And then I was at work last night. I'm on midnights. So at 3 in the morning, she sent me a picture of him standing. And she's like, I think he wants to eat.
So what's his name?
Jake, yeah.
Oh, that's right, Jacob. So you're a sergeant. How long have you been a sergeant?
It'll be a year this June. I just made sergeant. It took me a while to make it.
But Billy Donnelly tells me you were in gang intelligence for quite a while.
I did a quick 1 year there. I worked with Billy for a year, and I had just bought a house. And
where's the house?
At the time, it was at 114th and Washtenaw.
Oh, okay, in the hood.
Yeah, right down the street from Pickle.
Yeah.
And the overtime was a little sketchy there, and so I only did a year, and I went back. I went because it was long-term investigations, what we were doing.
Oh, wow.
So you weren't in court as frequently, and so having just bought the house, I needed to get back in court.
Yeah. So what are you doing now?
I'm a sergeant in the 8th District on midnights.
Wow. What's that, midnight to what, 8?
It's actually a 9 o'clock start, 9 p.m. till 6 in the morning.
Holy cow.
And then, you know, my wife owns her own business, so she works, so I come home, and it's Mr. Mom time for me till she gets home, which is awesome. It's actually fantastic. I didn't think it was going to be that. Not that I, you know, it's not what you expect becoming a
when
father.
When do you sleep?
Today I got about 3 hours of sleep in today.
Oh, wow.
So I'll normally take a nap with him.
Are you working tonight?
No, I took off.
Okay, that's good.
You told me there's going to be Guinness here, so I took off.
Okay, good. I'm glad. Because the last thing we need are more drunk cops out on the street. Not like in the old days from what I hear. Some of the stories I've heard.
Jeff Sessions just said that the FBI should have more drunk Irish cops. So,
did he say that?
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago. Look it up. He's like, all the problems the FBI was having with these guys.
Yeah.
He's like, maybe you need to get the drunk Irish back. At least we could trust them.
He's right. So God bless him.
We'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah. So, you obviously, there was a history in your family of police work. You were inspired by your dad, your brother. How old are your brothers that much older than you?
So we have 7 kids.
Okay.
And I, you know, in typical Irish.
Your dad raised 7 kids on a policeman's salary.
He did.
Yeah, good
but
for
at
him.
The time, you know, Catholic schools had the nuns teaching, so it wasn't.
Oh, sure. They weren't paying
now.
Them anything.
Right.
Yeah.
But so that we have 5 in a row, and in typical big Irish Catholic family, I'm not really sure of their ages. I just know the one below me and the one above me. So there's 5 in a row. Then there's a 9-year gap, and I'm an oops.
Oh, wow.
And then we had my sister, yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So you guys are the cabooses, you and your sister.
Yes. Yeah, my mom, actually, they were
You're the sixth and seventh kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They were in county fair in the frozen foods aisle, and my mom decided that's where she was going to tell him, by the way, I'm pregnant, and she walked away. And his, I think he said his first thought was, oh, my God, my retirement plans are just shot. So along came me and my sister, Megan.
What is your dad's name?
Joe.
God bless him. And where is he now?
He's retired. Okay. Yeah, he lives out by 115th and Central.
Okay. So. Well, good for him. He raised seven kids. That ain't easy. Yeah, I'm the youngest of seven as well.
Okay.
So you had brothers on the force, and obviously there was the long blue line in your family.
Yeah, I had both my grandfathers, two of my uncles, dad, and two of my brothers, yeah.
We had a lady on here the other night, Terry Riley. You may know
sure,
her.
Sure, I do.
She is at the tail end of 137 years of Chicago police work in her family. Her great-great-grandfather went on the force in the late 1880s.
Wow.
Unbelievable. But it's great that there's a tradition like that.
Yeah, I made sergeant, actually, so the tradition thing, like my grandfather on my mom's side gave my dad his star, which was 2515, which was my dad's address. I won't give the street because my brother lives there now. But so my grandpa gave 251. He had 2515. He gave it to my dad. And then my dad, towards the end of his career, he was a detective. They changed detective star numbers.
Yeah.
And so he passed it down to my brother. My brother, Bill, had it for a couple years, and then they decided that all 2000 series were going to be sergeants. Well, my brother Joe was just making sergeant, so he gave it to my brother Joe. Joe had it, and then when my brother got promoted to lieutenant, obviously he had to give it up, and another guy had it. Well, I just made sergeant, and I reached out to the guy who had it. I had worked with him in Englewood
for
a little bit.
Can you do that?
I did, and I kind of was like, hey, you're the only person that's had that star since the 30s. We kind of want it back. And he was very accommodating.
Oh,
so
that's
great.
Yeah. So you got 2515.
I do.
That's great. Yeah, that's really cool.
And hopefully, now I don't get complaints off my star number here, but I think we got an accommodating crowd with yeah. Irish listeners, so
oh,
I
yeah,
think we're
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. No one's going to beef. So you're still a very young guy. You've got
like
a long time
so.
More on the
I like,
job.
I like to think so.
It gets pretty scary
if you ask,
out there.
If you ask my wife, she'd venture a guess that I'm about 14 years old.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But it's scary out there, am I right?
It's Chicago.
Well, just like what we were listening to you at the beginning of this thing.
Yeah, that was an interesting day.
You were in
day.
A gunfight and they're shooting at you guys.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That was an
and
interesting
And you were standing day. Right next to the captain when he got shot in the head?
No, I was in the back. I don't want to get, because it's a long story, but when the guys broke the door in, he started shooting right away.
Okay.
The captain was in the back with me. He went to the front. He tried to, he had kind of taken command of everything. And he stepped out of the building a little bit to get a better radio reception, and that's when he got shot.
Oh.
I eventually made my way towards the front and went in the vestibule, and they'd already, kind of rendered him some aid. He was wrapped up, his head. And we were in there for, close to 15 minutes exchanging gunfire with
him.
And, what we had to do, we couldn't walk out the front door with him because he was shooting at us through the window.
Yeah.
And his door was right by the vestibule, so he would run from the door to the window and was shooting at us from two separate locations. So what we had to do is we had to pick him up. Myself and Chris Ross, who's a detective, we kind of had him over our shoulders. And we had two newer guys, Jack Miller and Mike Pfeiffer, who are great guys. They were behind us and kind of held him up because Colbita was going into shock. And so
Colbita was the captain.
Right.
Yeah.
And we ended up kicking in an adjacent door. We had to go up a stairwell across the door that he was shooting us from, so we exchanged gunfire with him, and Chris Ross actually got shot in the hip.
Wow.
He was standing obviously next to the captain because we were carrying him, and then we got him out. And then I got a call. It's not like TV. That happened about 5 o'clock at night. We had worked that whole day. I started 8 in the morning, but I didn't get home from work till the next day at 3 in the afternoon. And that was kind of my wife's. We were dating at the time because I got a voicemail that her engagement ring was ready, so I had to call him the next day and be like, "Hey, I've been up for about 2 days. I'll get back with you to get that ring."
Yeah. Now, how did they nullify this guy in the building? Did they finally bump him off, or how did he give up, or what?
He gave up. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He swatted they throw the flashbangs in there, and so they pulled him out. And he just got sentenced like a year ago. It was like 40 years or something. They gave him a pretty good bit.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you. He was.
My wife hated overtime from then on. Because
my
father-in-law was, I was in fugitive apprehension at the time. My father-in-law, when it first kicked off, he was like, oh, hey, there's a shooting in 7. Good thing Tommy's not working. It's a fugitive team. And her, you know, her face went blank. She's like, Tommy's working overtime.
Oh, wow.
So, and I'm horrible with leaving my phone in the visor. She couldn't get a hold of me. She didn't know. All they knew is somebody got shot in the head, and she didn't know who. So that was a scary time for her. So she was on edge a little bit. Anytime I worked late after that, she wasn't real happy with it. And,
well, it's a scary job.
It's a lot that the wives go through, actually.
It's
something that doesn't get considered and doesn't get spoken about, but, you know. It's,
you know, we had Terry Riley on the show, and she retired after 30 years, and she said she didn't realize it until her 4-year-old grandson one day, she's leaving, said, okay, I'll see you. And he said, Grandma, if you don't come back, I'll understand. And she came back and said, you know, Danny, his name was Danny, I have all these angels around me. They protect me. They're keeping an eye. So Grandma's going to be okay. But she started thinking, you got all these people that love you, that worry about you, you know, and this is great. She goes, I mean, I'm sitting there running and gunning and having fun on the job.
Yeah.
Running and gunning. It was a great story. And you forget about those people until you get in a situation like that.
You do, you know, and it's one of those things, like, I know. It definitely has an effect on guys, and a lot of guys won't say that it does, but it does. You can't go through something like that. It does have residual effects. It lasts a couple of weeks, and, you know, maybe even longer. Who knows? I mean, I got a whole life to live and haven't gone through a lot. You know, my wife's probably not going to be waiting in line for heaven because she's dealt with me. She'll get right in.
Yeah.
But, you know, my wife's fantastic. She's good with everything, so.
And what's this business she's running? Should we give them a plug?
Yeah, absolutely. Her and her mother own a cafe. It's actually super easy to remember. It's 1312 West Madison, 1312 West Madison. It's a little coffee shop. It's actually how we met.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went in there. West Madison where the...
right across from West End, the bar.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that bar, yeah.
Yeah, so their little sandwich shop. That's how we met. I went in there, and it took me about 6 or 7 months to... to get the, you know, you can drag out someone and go in a shooting, no problem. But asking a girl out, it took me 7 months to do. So,
oh, you're a caramel gay.
Exactly.
All right. So, what do you got written down there? You want to tell me about?
You asked me for some funny stories, and you know, so I just wrote a couple down that, you know, I thought maybe because I have stage fright. I know for sure.
I'd have another beer.
Exactly. They are delicious.
They are.
But, you know, our job is just full of just, you know, funny moments.
Right.
And you just come across them. Like I said, I was in fugitive apprehension for a number of years. And you have a team of 10 guys, and you always have one U.S. Marshal assigned to you.
Oh, yeah.
And we were out on the southeast side, and we had met in the morning, and we kind of pre-briefed. We were looking at a house for a guy, and I don't remember what it was for.
He was a fugitive, though.
Yeah, yeah. Right, for something that caught the attention of the marshals and the fugitive apprehension. We only focused on, you know, like felony warrants and stuff. But anyways, he kind of pre-briefed us on what we were looking for. And then, you know, you sit on surveillance. That unit is a lot of surveillance, a lot of sitting in cars.
Yeah.
And after like 3 or 4 hours, you know, something, whatever, somebody saw him or whatever. But we approached the house, and everyone kind of looked at our marshal. His name was Diego, and... he got transferred, so I can throw him under the bus here. I think he's in the Carolinas now. But we're looking at him. You know that game in the bar where it has the two pictures next to each other, and you got a picture. You got to see what's different about him. You know what I'm talking about? The photo hunt picture.
Okay, no. Yeah.
Well,
it's a cop bar thing. Yeah.
So it's one, we're all looking at him. We're like, what's different about you? And he like with that guilty face was like, nothing. Everything's fine. And we're like, no, dude. Something's different about you. And finally someone's like, why are you wearing basketball shorts with boots and a gun belt? And we're like, yeah, dude, you had khaki, you know, like cargo pants on. Well, we were on surveillance so long that the marshals have these surveillance kits, and it was they pee in a bag, and it turns it into, it's like a, it turns into the consistency of like mashed potatoes. Well, it had like punctured. So he
all over his
went pants. All over his pants. So, you know, like the U.S. Marshal has a real expensive mashed potato surveillance pee-pee bag. Meanwhile, the Chicago policeman with the empty Gatorade bottles, you know, we never pee on ourselves.
That's great. So did he finally fess up?
He did, because we were like, hey, Diego, something's not right. But he just like,
why did you change?
He happened to have basketballs. You're like, but it was like, how do we not? It was just kind of funny, like, something's different. Yeah. No, nothing's different.
You know, my niece married a U.S. Marshal, Jimmy Smith. Do you know Smitty?
I do.
Okay. And I'm sure he has a lot of stories like that.
And he knows Diego, so you can ask
him.
Oh,
does he? Yeah. I will ask him. Yeah. All right, what else you got there? Any other anecdotes? We're talking to Tom Gorman, Sergeant Tom Gorman.
It was when I was working in Englewood. I was there for 10 years. And the postal.
Carmel probably prepared you for that.
It did. Yeah. It did. I spent a lot of time coloring and playing with blocks at Carmel. And it gave me a nice foundation.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, like all the honors classes, like I walked briskly past those classrooms to go to my classrooms. But yeah, I mean, the job is just so much fun. It is exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Growing up with my father's stories and my brother's stories. And it was a scene right out of, like, you know, Police Story with O.J. Simpson. The postal police had come into Englewood and they were like, hey, we're looking for this guy. We want to go hit this apartment, but we don't really want to make a big scene. And they just jinxed themselves saying that.
Like, yeah.
If you didn't say that, everything would have went smooth, but you just said that. Now, so we went in there, and as we're in there, this guy kind of ducked off into a side bedroom. Well, you know.
In the apartment?
In the apartment, yeah. And you know, I'm like, hey, you know, what's that about? So you got to kind of quickly make a decision here. And naturally, everyone was like, we don't know what's going on. Nothing happened. I was like, well, I saw the dude duck in there. So I went to kick the door, and knowing that it was like this, just a cheap hollow door, I tried to get close to the doorknob, but I didn't get close enough, and my foot went right through
the door.
Just like O.J. Simpson in the movie.
Yeah.
So now I pulled it back. I tried pulling my foot out, and I got stabbed with the splinter
in
the calf. And so that hurts. So then, you know, like the Hulk came out, and I just like threw myself like raging through the door and just left like a silhouette of, you know, a 220.
You just plowed right through the door.
220 pound Irish guy went through the little door, you know.
So. Was the guy in there?
He was. He was just in there hiding, laying under the blankets.
He must have scared the hell out of him. There's a monster here. Oh, that's great. Okay, we got to take a break. Listen, would you come back one of these days and tell us some more stories? This is great stuff.
Well, let me go out and get some more experiences. Yeah, sure. I'll do that.
I'm sure you got plenty of them.
Right, right.
Tom Gorman, folks. He's one of Chicago's finest. And I want to tell you, though, we do admire you and respect and salute you guys every day. Thanks for all the stuff that you do for the city. You know, you're protecting our families, and can't thank you enough for that. So God bless you, Tom Gorman.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you having me here.
Okay, we're going to take a little break here on Hibernian Radio. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982 when they started their first store where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell him Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
If you're looking for an office in the loop, you got to check out Integrated Office Suites at 20 North Clark Street and 455 North City Front Plaza Drive in the NBC Tower. IOS has an entire floor in these two very prestigious buildings, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference room and day office usage, administrative support services, and customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated Office Suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com or call them at 312-561-2300 and tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you. That's integratedofficesuites.com, 312-561-2300. You'll be glad you did.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
There's only one Irish pub on the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spent a lot of time there, taping the Hibernian radio show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal, Hooley. Thanks. When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation, family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRocque, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
And we're back on Hibernian Radio, your old friend Mike Houlihan. Great to be here. That Tommy Gorman was just terrific. Next week we have Ed Beasley on the show, another Chicago police officer. Excuse me, so stick around. You know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue and I look in the window of Ken's or Wrong's or Hart's or any of those great saloons, and I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, "Hey, Hooley, who died?" So, Billy, we only got one this week, but I'll bet you know this guy, Bernard, John B. Hunt, 99 years old from County Limerick. Beloved husband of the late Kathleen, father of Edward and the late Catherine. He was a veteran of the Irish Republican Army. You know those guys. He's the 1940s campaign founder of the Limerick Hurling Club of Chicago, former chairman of the North American Board of Gaelic, the GAA, and proud member of Plumbers Local 130. God rest his soul, John B. Hunt. He was PGOD, of course, our OBIT scout, gave me the whole rundown on the guy. And he had had a slight heart attack. He wanted to go to the All-Ireland Finals. He used to go every year. And they said, you probably shouldn't go. And he said, I'm going. And he went. And when he got to Ireland, they just loved it and took him all over the place. And then when he came back, he died. God rest his soul. John B. Hunt. And where was he waked? At Sheehy's, where all the right people go. Okay. So say a prayer for John B. Hunt. And now we get to our friends, Bernard Callahan, Mary Callahan, and Ann McGillicuddy. I just love that name. I love the way you spell it, too. McGillicuddy.
The right way.
Yeah, okay.
Is there a wrong way?
I thought it was an I, actually, but it's not. Yeah. Anyway, from Barney Callahan's at 106th and Western. We've been talking about it for weeks. I'm so glad you guys have come down. Ann is the Irish language teacher. And it looks like what you got going is more than just an Irish pub. It's kind of a community center now. Am I right? With all the stuff you got going?
Yeah, what it is, we try to incorporate as much into it as we can, yeah.
Yeah.
And Ann is just another spoke in the wheel when she's teaching Irish, the Irish language. Though.
To kids, right?
No, kids and adults.
Right.
So we teach Irish language there on a Thursday night. Beginners are from 6 to 7, and the intermediate class is from 7:30 to 8:30. And then we've had a few pop-up Gaeltachs there, too, so people are coming in.
Pop-up Gaeltach.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say it right?
Yeah, spot on.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, good.
Are you Irish?
That's a new thing, pop-up
stuff.
That's
a new thing, yeah.
Yeah.
So all these pop-ups are happening in cities all over the States and at home. And so we ran a night in Barney Callahan's where we had over 75 people there.
Terrific.
Yeah. And Barney Callahan's were gracious enough to give us their venue to do it. So, yeah.
Well, I can see they're getting involved in the community and everything, and there's kids running back and forth. It's a lot like a pub in Ireland, you know. And let's go back a bit, Bernard. So, you're from County Antrim.
No.
Armagh.
Armagh.
Sorry, I don't want to get those mixed up.
No, don't do that.
When you came over in 86.
85. I got here in October of 85.
Okay. Yeah. And then, is that when you opened Keegan's?
No, I myself and another guy bought Keegan's in 1990.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, it was the 3rd of July, 1991.
Was the guy's name Keegan?
The guy that owned it, his wife's maiden name was Keegan.
Okay.
And that's why you call it Keegan's, just to placate her.
The guy who owned it before you.
Yeah, the guy who owned it before me.
Oh, okay.
His wife's maiden name was Keegan.
Because I thought for years that you were Bernard Keegan.
A lot of people thought that. And yeah. I wish a lot more would still think.
And you didn't dissuade anybody of that either.
No, not at all. Think whatever they're going to think.
And that was a great pub just to begin with.
Yeah.
But now you've expanded. You got Barney Callahan's. It's just an amazing, it's like a mecca on Western Avenue. All the stuff you got going on. And you open the whole joint up. Keegan's, you used to be able to stare at your enemy, you know, across the bar there.
That's right,
give the evil eye. But you can't do that anymore. It's a
well, the bar is 50 feet long, so if you can't hide in 50 feet,
yeah,
you'll have to look for somewhere else.
When did you open the new Barney Callahan's?
In 2015, we remodeled it, and opened it in August of 2015.
Where did you meet Mary? In the neighborhood?
It was.
Are you from Beverly, Mary?
No, I grew up in Oakland.
Okay.
So I was his employee.
Ah, were you a bartender? At Keegan's?
I was a waitress and a bartender.
Oh, no kidding.
Bartender for 12 years.
Ah. That's great.
Yeah.
And so, and you have kids now?
Yes, we have two kids, yeah.
That's terrific. Yeah.
They're part of the bar, too. They're there often with us.
Are they? How old are they?
12 and 10.
And what are their names?
Tig and Ava.
That's why you have that email address, Tig.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And how old is he, 10?
He's 12.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Ava's 10, yeah.
So you guys met at the bar, and is Mary the one who convinced you to expand?
She did, actually, yeah. She was It was either sell it and move on, or remodel it and try and rev their business back up. So we decided that we were going to remodel it and see what would happen.
Yeah. And that took a lot of guts.
Well, a lot of bars that you get to a point where we have to make a decision on them. You're either going to stick with them, or you're going to sell them and move on. So we decided that it was worth investing in the neighborhood and worth staying in Beverly. And
we've
a lot of friends there.
Many people told us we were crazy to reinvest.
And still do.
In it,
And still do.
But it worked out.
I owned a bar in Rockaway Beach, New York. It was one of the worst 2 years of my life.
It's a lot of work.
Well, oh, it was crazy.
You were probably swimming every day up there.
Oh, yeah, it was right on. And the guy who got me to buy it with him said, gambling's going to go legal here. We're going to make a fortune. It never did.
No, you would have.
Oh, yeah.
I had a good friend who lived in Rockaway Beach.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
We used to open at 8 a.m.
Oh, that's
and
tough.
The bar would, there'd be guys drinking at 8 a.m.
Yeah, that's tough.
8 a.m. to 4 a.m. was our license. It was
really?
Insane. And, well, long story. But that's a tough business. I know that. I can tell you that.
Well, it's like any business. You got to put a lot of time and effort into it if you're going to make it work.
Yeah, but then you add booze.
Yeah, right.
That makes it a lot more interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I've gotten to know most of the people who come in there. I'm probably on my second generation of people who are coming into Barney Callahan's now.
Yeah.
I was serving the fathers or the
at
mothers.
Keegan's.
Yeah. And now they're coming into Barney Callahan's.
It's
coming
a very romantic place. A lot of people have met their husbands.
A lot of
wives.
People have fell in love there. Yeah.
One of our former interns works there now, Katie Rock.
Oh, yeah, Katie.
Katie was our intern for over a year. Was it Billy? She's a trip.
Yeah,
very funny, very entertaining.
She's a great girl.
Yeah,
she
was just a riot.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of fun with her. So I'm glad she landed there, which is great. She's been with you a while, right?
Yeah.
Over a year?
No more than that.
Yeah, probably about two now.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, she's a great kid. Tell her we said hello.
She's a good worker. Yeah.
Yeah. She is.
Yeah. All right. So how was Fela? You have a lot of stuff coming up. You're reinventing as you go along, Mary, right?
Yeah, we're trying to do more events. They seem to draw crowds. And it's just, when we remodeled, our goal was to have music. And
live music.
Live music and a bit of culture there. And Fela was a nice culmination of everything there. So it was great. The weather was absolutely horrible, but we still got great turnout.
Yeah.
Yes, we did. Yeah. And there was some great music there over there.
Oh,
the
you had some real all-stars there.
Yeah.
I saw the Nuge as I was leaving. Yeah. Larry Nugent was there. And
that's right, yeah.
Pauline Keneally.
Yeah.
She's terrific.
Yeah, we got 2 weeks out of her. She came back on
didn't
the
didn't you have,
Friday.
What's his name, too? Tommy Makeham's son?
Yep.
Rory Makeham.
Yep.
Rory Makeham.
That's
right.
A big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, his father came from about 17 miles away from where
no
I come
kidding.
From. When I got talking to Rory, he knew a lot of the same places in Armagh that I did because he had been there when he was growing up with his father.
Yeah.
So he had a lot of stories about what his father was going back to Katy and County Armagh and meeting all the different relatives that he had there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, he was something else, Tommy. Tommy Makeham had a place in Manhattan.
That's right.
On 57th Street. I used to go in there. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think I was in it once. Yeah. It's a long time ago. But
oh, yeah. I'm probably older than you are.
No, not probably.
Anyway, get over there, folks. Barney Cam. Now, you named it after your dog, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I thought Barney was your father-in-law or somebody like that, but no, it was...
Well, I think Bernard's superstitious, and he didn't want to have just Callahan's on it, so we thought he'd probably knock a little bit of the bad juju out of it. Put the dog's name on it, but...
And you still have the Keegan sign out there.
Yeah, a lot of people take their wedding, again, back to weddings, but a lot of people come before their weddings and take pictures out in front of that sign.
You do wedding receptions there?
No,
We've had two.
We've had one actual wedding there.
Yeah.
And you have a party room in the basement, too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then you have that big, is it outdoor area?
No, it's not. We have a smoking area.
Where is that where Pauline was playing that day?
No, so that was our parking lot. We tented up our parking lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we do a couple events out there a year.
Yeah.
Parking lot, so it's a lot of space.
It's a lot of people in there.
It's
good.
So.
Yeah, because I remember Keegan's was one of the only joints that had its own parking lot. Right next to the building there.
I didn't want any of the Keegan's regulars getting lost after we remodeled. So I had to hang that sign out there so to make sure they'd know their way back.
Yeah.
Luckily, I got most of them back, so we're good.
And how'd you guys meet Ann?
Well, Ann's wife and I are good friends. We
Ann's from Wicklow, County Wicklow.
Her wife is American, and I've known her for 100 years. Yeah, 100 years. And Katie also worked for Burner for a little while at the bar. So.
And did you learn Irish at home? Or?
I did, yeah. So I grew up in Wicklow, and I learned Irish in grammar school there. And then when I was 12 years old, my parents decided to send me to an all-Irish medium high school, which was kind of not the done thing at the time. So I...
Were you fully immersed in the language?
Fully immersed, yeah. I didn't know what I was doing for the first 3 months, so I was sent to this school, and I had to sink or swim. So I remember one particular story where a student in the class said, "Oh, don't ask her any questions. She's stupid." So,
that's terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible. But at the same time, you know, you had to learn the language, or you had to leave.
Did she say that in Irish?
She did, and I could understand it. So I obviously was making progress.
Oh, that's good.
So
that's one way to learn it.
Yeah, and then. So I was immersed in the language for about 3 months, and then kind of by Christmas of the first year, the teachers say in hindsight you can't really tell the difference out of kids that have come from English medium national schools or Irish medium national schools. So then I was there for 6 years, and then I went on to do
6 years. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Went on to do a degree in Irish and a master's in UCD. And then I moved to Chicago, and I wanted to keep teaching the language here because...
Now, you know, when I was researching you, there's a very famous Anne McGillicuddy who is a language professor in Ireland. Is she related to you? Or?
She's not, no.
But you know who I'm talking about, mm-hmm. right? I went, wow, that can't be... I thought, she's too old. Because you're a young, darling girl. All right, well, so if you want to get over to Callahan's, but it's not only just the pints and the crack and everything. It's culture, right? It's the the music, it's the language, it's the arts, it's everything.
Yeah.
And I salute you for that. That's terrific. You know, I have a 501c3 dedicated to Irish and Irish-American culture. We have the radio shows, and we have a film festival that we do in September. And we do a trip. We're going to Ireland again. This is like our 7th trip.
I know. I've heard really good things about that.
Liam Durkin is going with us this year.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah. So I hear you. I dig what you're doing. You know, it's terrific.
So we teach a lot of classes there every Thursday night. Beginners from 6 to 7 and intermediate class from 7:30 to 8:30. So we have about 15 of a core group that come and learn the language on a Thursday night. So, you know, anybody's welcome to come along, and we're always looking for new people to join us.
You know, when I lived in New York, I took Irish at the Irish Arts Center for maybe 3 months.
How'd that go?
Really hard.
It's a tough one.
All I remember is Tabrian Akshil, which was Brian is running, and the teacher's name was Brian.
But it takes time. But the group that we've had, they're together about 4 years now, and I've just started doing a book with them, and it's too easy for them. So it just takes time, you know. Yeah. Just keep at it. That's my.
I used to do a bit about, you know, you see those old Irish guys at the bar, and they're loaded at 4 a.m. and they're going, gosh, those guys aren't drunk. They're speaking Irish.
Speaking Irish, yeah.
that. They're plotting and scheming.
Yeah. They're talking about you.
Yeah. So Barney Callahan's 10618 Southwestern. Get over there. And we have a little plug that we do every week for you guys. But thanks for coming down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
Terrific
thank
to have you here and come back again. And anytime we're on the south side, that's my new home.
Oh, good.
All right.
Good to hear.
All right.
Yeah. Ever since Jackie Casto died. Did you guys know Jackie?
Yeah, I knew him well. Yeah, he was a great guy.
Oh, he was terrific. And I used to go into Ken's and never had to pay for a drink. So I hope that's going to pertain when I go into your place, Bernard. Silence!
They're not cut from the same cloth, yet.
No. Jackie was a different type of guy tonight.
All right, folks. Get down there to Barney Callahan's. Is it Barney Callahan's Irish Pub or just Barney Hagen?
Barney Callahan's Pub.
Okay. 10618 Southwestern, you will love it. Thanks, you guys. We're going to take another break on the show and be right back after these messages from our friends.
This is Mike Houlihan. I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years, since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, CONCERN has saved and changed millions of lives. It's been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support CONCERN today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There is no more Irish thing you can do.
There's only one Irish pub in the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spend a lot of time there, taping the Hibernian radio show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal, Hooley. Thanks. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero, or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did. And we're back. Hibernian Radio having a blast here tonight. Thanks so much for listening. And hope you come back every week when we continue to honor our first responders and meet people from the community with the music, the art, the culture. Anyway, I want to give everybody a heads up. Saturday night, April 6th, over at the Heritage Center is the Chicago Rose of Tralee Selection Evening. It's a lot of fun. And it starts at 6.
get over there. I think it's $20 a head, but you get food, drink, and everything. But we're sponsoring a young lady, Rachel Detloff, who is in the running. And if you're a judge, we would appreciate a vote for her. I got a picture of her here somewhere. Anyway, she's a great kid, but let me tell you a little bit about her. She grew up in the West Suburbs of Chicago, Rachel Detloff. She's a graduate of DePaul with a degree in communications and media. Her Irish ancestry is from her great-great-great-grandmother, whose name was Thompson, and her father came over from Ireland. Growing up, my mom told us family stories of history and our ancestors, which led me to Irish dance. I was an Irish dancer with Trinity Academy of Irish Dance for 9 wonderful years. That's a big deal. Learned much about Irish heritage as well as myself. The Irish community has meant so much to me because I feel accepted, loved, and part of a wonderful community. In several ways, Irish dance was a lifesaver for me and helped me through hard times in my life. She currently works at Trader Joe's, and she's planning on starting her own organizing business. She also has worked in the film industry here and hopes to continue with either acting or behind the scenes in costumes. Well, we could help her out with that behind the scenes stuff. So check her out Saturday night, tonight. And if you're hearing this on the radio, get over there. It's going till about 10 o'clock. But that's just a great show, the Rosa Trolleying Contest with the girls singing. And I think Katie Grennan is opening the show, dancing and music and everything. And so if you get a chance, give a big hand to Rachel Detloff. She's being sponsored by Hibernian Radio. Also, don't forget the Irish American News has been bringing you news important to the Irish of Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all facets of the Irish community, check out the Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call 847-872-0700. That's 847-872-0700. And ask for Cliff, or you can email Cliff, cliff@irishamericannews.com. You want to make sure, because everything's in there. Also, if you're headed over to Western Avenue tonight or anytime this weekend, stop in and say hello to our friends Mary and Bernard at Bernard Callahan's Irish Pub, 10618 Southwestern. It's a perfect Southside Irish bar, as you just heard. There's always something going on there. And tell them who Lee sent you. And what else do I have? Oh! Don't forget the Shamrock, the Twisted Shamrock Pub over on Central Avenue, 6200 South Central. It's owned by our friends Mike and Dawn Courtney, and a great spot. It's the best Irish bar in the Medway area, and they've been very good to us, so check it out. Also, I want to tell you about a film called Maze that I was lucky enough to have dinner with last year with Barry Ward, who was one of the stars of Maze. It's opening Friday, April 12th at Facets Cinematheque. They have a nice ad in the Irish American News, so check that out. And now I think it's time we take a little trip to Hooli Town.
Deep in the south side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep. All the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks. Where they only spoke Yaki Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bouncer and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Can I get you two?
This yeah. is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The what? His teeth,
oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
Mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
A crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as Hooli Town.
Hooli Town.
Welcome to Hooli Town. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hooli Town.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yeah, welcome to Hooli Town. And this is where I can get away with wild stuff, like crazy jokes. But also, Billy, if you could please give me a hand. This door, please. Push it. El Chapo and his wife to launch fashion line.
Who cares?
Jennifer Lopez throws fiance Alex Rodriguez out. That's strike three for the cheating former baseball pro.
Who cares?
Mick Jagger to undergo heart surgery while bandmate Keith Richards defies the odds.
Who cares?
Inside Mickey Rourke's doggy depression, former actor mourning the death of his beloved Chihuahua.
Who cares?
Seen through the lie. Bill Cosby gives up his blind charade in jail. His sight's been restored by secret surgery. Or was he just dropping the act?
Who cares?
Barbara Walters was egomaniacal while on The View.
Who cares?
Tom Cruise bans Nicole Kidman from Sun's Scientology wedding.
Who cares?
And finally, Rosie O'Donnell slams The View co-host and tell-all book actress calls the show unwatchable today.
Who cares?
It still is. Close it up. Push it, 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 Billy. Let me get up on your shoulders here and get that latch. Okay, thanks, pal. Couple of quick little jokes that can do it because you're on Hooleytown. Two elderly gentlemen from a retirement center were sitting on a bench under a tree when one turns to the other and says, Slim, you know, I'm 83 years old now and I'm just full of aches and pains. I know you're about my age. How do you feel? Slim says, I feel just like a newborn baby. Really? Like a newborn baby? Yep. No hair, no teeth, and I think I just crapped my pants. We're having fun here on Hibernian Radio tonight. Come back next week and join us when we got Ed Beasley from the Chicago Police Department. More crazy stuff. Just love doing this show. We're down here at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. Please join us. And God bless you all, and thanks for listening.
Oh, Lord, I wonder, will I look down the road and I wonder just to see how far I was from God. And I buckled up my shoes, and then I started walking. Up my shoes and I started walking just to see how far I was from gold. All right. I'm a singer.